So there's a high density brine layer, especially in the north, because the Compass Minerals has evaporation ponds on the west side of the north side of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they pre-treat or pre-evaporate water out there to close to saturation for, potassium chloride. They evaporate some of the water out there, and then they pump that into the Barron's Trench, which is basically a ditch that was dug underneath the Great Salt Lake. And it runs from the west side of the lake to the east side of the lake. It's just an open ditch, but it's on the bottom of the lake. They pour this, or pump this, high-density brine into that ditch, and it flows down the ditch underwater to the east side of the lake, where they have big intakes, and they suck out that high-density brine out of there and bring it over to the east side of the lake, the northeast corner, to finish it, to finish the evaporation process. But when they, if they have problems with their pump system, or there's a failure in the canal that's down there, a slope failure, and it clogs up a little bit, some of that high-density brine will start to build up in the bottom of the lake, because it'll rise above the level of the canal. It'll fill up the canal and overflow into the bottom of the lake. Well, that high-density brine has a density difference strong enough that we can see that with the depth finder.
I see.
The digital part of the depth finder doesn't want to see that. It wants to take the deepest part of the lake, the deepest reading it gets. And so you'll be going along, and you'll have a bunch of 5.8 meter, and then all of a sudden you'll go up to 4.3, 5.8, 5.8, 5.8, 4.3, 4.3, etc. And so the digital data will have these spurious elevations that there's no way from, well, there is a way, but it's highly unlikely that you'll have a meter difference within a third of a meter vertical distance within a third of a meter distance horizontally.
Right.
And then drop right down. It'd be like you had a bunch of 2x4s stuck in the bottom of the mud or at the bottom of the lake. Not going to happen. But you can tell that on the analog data. You can see that there's a kind of a little ghost reflection that's flat, or relatively flat, that is hanging over top of the main trace of the bottom of the lake. And so that, you know, that would tell you that these spurious reflections are a result of the that high-density brine layer that's sitting down there. And so that you know why, which was a big concern when you get these weird reflections in the water column, why are they there? Well, what's causing them? Are they air bubbles? Are they this deep brine layer? Is it debris that's, you know, partially submerged? Is it a telephone pole? Is it an old boat that sunk out there? You just don't know. But the analog would give you information that helps you figure out why you're getting these readings on the digital data. And of course, then, you know, once we collected all that data, we had to process it. And there were 12.7 million points, I think, total.
Oh my gosh.
That we collected.
Wow.
It's split up between the north and south part of the lake. That's XYZ, and you have to go through all of those data and get rid of all these spurious reflections and correct them all for sound velocities, you know, from the periodic sound velocity measurements that you make. Then go through and try to contour them.
Okay, we'll come back to that in a second. I want to go back and ask a few more questions. So did you find any shipwrecks or any treasures or any, you know, really interesting things?
Lots of treasure. no, unfortunately, in using a single beam system, all you'd see is if you ran into, not literally ran into something, but crossed over top of something, mm-hmm. you'd see this spike.
Okay.
Or going across the Barron's Trench, all of a sudden, you see this big U-shaped hole in the bottom of the lake,
right.
and then it would flatten back out. You'd go across, when they built the Barron's Trench, they used a bucket to dig it out with, you know, I forget the terminology. There's a bucket, but it's on kind of like a cable, and they throw it in and drag line.
Oh,
they used a drag line to dig that out, and they put the spoils off a little ways to the north in most of, for most of that. And so you'd go across there, and you'd see all of a sudden the bottom would get bumpy. You'd go, what? Let's go. Of course, we couldn't see the bottom. So we didn't know what it was, but that was the bathymetry. That was the data.
Right.
And that's what it looked like there. So when you tried to contour that, you know, and you got these little bumps, you might hit them on one line, but you wouldn't see them again on the next line.
Hmm.
And so all of a sudden your contours would get all messed up. But because you didn't see them on one and you saw them on the other, you'd know it's just a local problem
yeah.
or an issue. And you could go through and... Because we're just doing the general bathymetry of the lake, we couldn't get down to... Even though the system could get down to 1 centimeter, I contoured at 0.5 foot. The state wanted it in feet, the map in feet. And so... You know, I contoured on 0.5 foot, and a lot of those small variations just disappeared
right,
because
right.
of rounding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
mm-hmm.
of you know the interval. But we do have all those data still, and you know it's down to little tiny changes.